So the G7 is going to meet today. What's the G7, you ask? Well, it's what you call the G8 without Russia, which is kind of awkward because the G8 was meant to meet in Russia. It's since been moved to Brussels. And the key point of discussion is going to be, how do you deal with Russia and what it's done in Ukraine? Here's the US President Barack Obama.
The ability for people to make their own determinations about their country's future is the cornerstone of the peace and security that we've seen in Europe over the last several decades. And that is threatened by Russian actions.
Joining me is Glenn Deason, who lectures at Macquarie University. He's completed his PhD in Russian relations with the West. Couldn't be more relevant. Glenn, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Does Russia care that it's excluded from the G8?
Oh, thanks for having me on. Well, I'm pretty sure they care, but I don't think it would have much effect because, well, the same leaders will now meet with Putin on the sidelines, actually this Friday in Normandy, because, well, essentially it's impossible to have a functional and cooperative international system and Europe by leaving out Russia. So it's probably going to be an expulsion was basically a compromise, I think, between the Europeans and Americans, because the Europeans didn't want to go as far as the Americans. However, yeah, expelling Russia seems to be a compromise. However, it tends to be rather symbolic.
Well, when you say the Europeans didn't want to go as far, what do you mean?
Well, the Europeans have much closer economic relations with Russia as opposed to the US. So it's it would be more damaging for the EU to impose sanctions on Russia because it's very much a interdependent relationship.
Well, nonetheless, sanctions have been imposed, and as I understand it, European nations were backing them.
Yes, they haven't been too hard, but there have been sanctions, some minor economic sanctions, but mainly travel sanctions on Russian officials. However, Russia won't give in on it because they see this as too much of a important or sensitive region where the costs are too high to give in. And yeah, secondly, they perceive this mostly as a defensive action against what they see as EU and US expanding its sphere of influence. So probably the sanctions or the expulsion from the G8 will not probably lead to much.
Right. And if the cost of defending yourself, as Russia sees it, is that you're no longer in the G7 or G8, whatever you want to call it for the purpose of this conversation, if you're no longer in that and all these countries are going to meet with you on the sidelines anyway to have pretty much the same conversations, then I guess it's worth it.
So it should be expected that once relations normalize, that they might resume the former GA. If not, many of the talks will still be on the side, I guess. Either way, the G7 or G8, Russia was never fully embraced in terms of most of the economic discussions often left Russia out. So I think the expulsion of Russia would mainly be symbolic, because typically in the West relations with Russia, common institutions have never really been a format for negotiating and compromising to coordinate policies, but rather they've been more of a tool to reward or punish Russia. So these institutions won't be used to find a common solution with Russia. Instead, they're seeking to put a lot of pressure on Russia to punish what they perceive to be, well, bad Russian behavior.
So is the upshot of what you're saying that the West, led by the US but also the EU, really have no effective strategy that they are prepared to resort to pull Russia into any kind of line that they would like to see?
That's correct. I think, the reason why is because Russia can't really completely back down, because, a neutral and friendly a neutral and friendly Ukraine is seen to be the source of stability on Russia's western borders, which it needs. In contrast, if you have a hostile nationalist and anti-Russian Ukraine becoming a member of NATO, this is believed to become an existential threat. So, so this is the basic problem for Russia. So what they're seeking is to decentralize power in Ukraine or to federalize. So the very pro-Russian eastern and southern regions could continue their close relations with Russia. And this would also prevent the country from making a zero-sum geopolitical alignment towards the West and away from Russia, as this is seen to be the source of the problem, the West forcing Russia to choose. Forcing Ukraine to choose between the Russia and West.
Right. Now, on the other side of things, though, does Russia's absence from the G8, now the G7, hurt that organisation more than it hurts Russia?
Yeah, this is an argument that's made by some that the G7 might actually isolate itself. And I think that was also evident when Australia suggested to ban Russia from entering the G20 here in Brisbane. In fact, at the BRICS country, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, they all stood up for Russia and suggested that Australia couldn't do this, and even put forward the possibility of boycotting the G20. So, it could isolate the West more, especially Europe. Also, only 2 weeks ago, I believe, was when Russia and China signed a new energy treaty for the next 30 years, which will not be denominated in U.S. dollars anymore. So for Russia, they've always, they have for a long time sought to link their economy closer with Asia. And I think especially the Europeans are seen to be more unreliable trading partners now, and this might actually push them faster to Asia and reduce their dependency on the West and Europe. Mm,
very interesting Asian bloc could be developing too when you throw in Turkey into the mix, and on the geopolitics goes. Thank you very much, Glenn. That's Glenn Deason, who lectures at Macquarie University and has done his PhD in Russian relations with the West.